All right. Good to see everyone. Trust you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. We certainly did. And great to have the fellowship this Sunday together. Again, we miss those who aren't able to be here. I know the COVID concerns continue to be of relevance. And we have some folks here who've come through that. So we rejoice in recovery. And just praise God for the fellowship that we share together as we do so around God's Word. I don't know about those of you who have children, whether you put them through piano lessons or some kind of music lessons, but I know we did. Our kids played piano, and then our son went on and played guitar and other instruments. But, you know, when you pay for those lessons, they get all excited, you know, and they start working on book one, and then, you know, before you know it, there's 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 5 years they've been going through piano lessons. And you know, whether you have your kids or your grandkids, and if they've been playing an instrument for all that time, you hope that after 5 years they have gone beyond book one, right? You know, how sad it would be if after all that time and all the money spent for all those lessons, they were still in book one. It's like, oh, I can't believe that. No, you really want them to practice and be diligent so that they grow and learn and go beyond that. Let me ask you this. Have you advanced beyond level one spiritually? As we continue in our study through the book of Hebrews, take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 5. We've looked at the fact that the book of Hebrews was a letter to the Jews, the Hebrews. Excuse me. And the writer who is proving that Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is, in fact, the Savior, the Messiah, of whom the Jews were looking ahead to. And he's proving to them all of these facts about Jesus. And he showed that Jesus is better than the angels. Jesus is better than all the prophets. He's better than Moses. And you could just think that the Jews were like, whoa, Jesus better than Moses? You got to be kidding. You know, Moses, you know, he's the giver of the law and all of that. Jesus is better than the entire Jewish, Old Testament Jewish system. Jesus is the Sabbath. Your Sabbath rest is found in Jesus. He has fulfilled the law. You could imagine, wow, the Hebrews were like, really? And the writer is trying to convince the reader that these were in fact truths or facts. And as a result of this, that he wanted them to grow in their confidence. He wanted them to become mature so that they would live righteously. And after all of that, so that they would persevere and not go back to the Old Testament ways. So you have all of this going on. And so the Jews' faith, and no doubt in these early days, was being challenged. And a few weeks ago, we studied chapter 4, verses 14 through chapter 5 and verse 10. We pointed out that because Jesus is in fact God the Son, that if you have received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, that you can have confidence. You can have confidence that even here and now, that when you go before the Father in Jesus' name, that you will be heard and that you actually stand in the very presence of God. That's confidence. And that you can have confidence that one day when you do stand before God to give an account of the things done in the body, whether good or evil, you can have confidence because of who you are in Christ. That's confidence, and that's what we have. That's what we talked about just a couple weeks ago. And that all of that should give you confidence in the way that you live. And at the end of that discussion, if you look at chapter 5 and verse 10, the writer says that Jesus was a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And then in verse 11, he says this: "We have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain because you are slow to learn." Then he comes to the challenge of today's text. And the take-home thought today very simply, is grow up. Grow up. And it's found in chapter 6 and verse 1. We'll get to that. But in chapter 6, verse 1, he says to move on to maturity. Grow up. Don't stay at level 1. Don't stay in elementary school. Don't keep taking freshman level courses. Go on to maturity. Grow, mature, develop in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Years ago, I worked at a camp for physically and mentally disabled. It's called Camp Echoing Hills in Eastern Ohio. And one of our campers, he's a 12-year-old camper, a delightful young man. I mean, great sense of humor, just a ready smile, just wonderful to care for. But he was relegated to a wheelchair because his body never matured. As a 12-year-old, he had a body comparable to a 4-year-old, which caused all kinds of complications for this young man. Now, that was sad. But I'm here to say that it is much more tragic if that happens to you spiritually. The challenge today is to move on from level 1. After the writer speaks of Jesus being designated by God as a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, he goes on to chapter 5, verse 11. And he says, about this we have much to say, and it's hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Therefore, chapter 6, verse 1, let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity. Take the challenge of chapter 6 and verse 1. Grow up. Move on to maturity. To stay an infant borders on going back. That's what the temptation was, to go back to the Old Testament ways, to all the foundational matters of Judaism. And so in this passage, we're going to look at marks of maturity. We're going to look at a few today and a few next week that will take us down through chapter 6 and verse 12. We're not going to go that far today, but beginning with chapter 5 and verse 11, grow in these areas. That's the encouragement. Marks of maturity. These are things that mark someone who has grown or is growing toward maturity in their relationship with God. No one has arrived, right? There's not a single one of us who would say, man, I've arrived on any one of these points. They all challenge us, encourage us to move on. Verse 11, about this we have much to say. It's hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness since he is a child. The first mark of maturity is to be a learner. Be a learner. Here the writer rebukes the readers. Again, they're being tempted to go back to their Jewish ways, and the writer points out their hesitancy to learn. You know, immaturity is safe, isn't it? You think about Peter Pan. You know, I don't want to grow up. You know, I just love being a kid, having all this fun, you know, with my wooden sword fighting off imaginary this and that's, you know. It's fun to be a kid, you know. I don't want to grow up. That's immature. And as we look at this, it was their responsibility to be a learner. And you can take this challenge to heart, to be motivated, to grow in this matter of maturing and learning what you need to learn as a believer of the Lord in the Lord Jesus Christ. So some qualities of being a learner here. You might want to jot these down. First of all, be quick to comprehend. Quick to comprehend. Verse 11. About this, we have much to say. It's hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. You know, comprehension, understanding things is a mindset. The phrase there, dull of hearing, means to be sluggish. It's the kind of, I dare you to bless me, Pastor. You know? Okay. Oh, I've heard this stuff before. I've been going to this church for all these years. You've been a pastor here for over 20 years. I've heard this kind of stuff over. Oh, you know. It's that I dare you to bless me attitude. It's being slothful. It's being lazy. In the Greek, it literally means no push. In other words, we don't have any drive. It's kind of lost the fizzle. It's being distracted and thick-headed. You know, it's difficult for a child to comprehend his math homework when his friends are knocking at the door. Come on, let's go outside and play some football, right? You know, it's like, I got to concentrate, you know. We're distracted. And that's what it's talking about here. I just want to encourage you that when you come to worship on Sundays, for example, this isn't the only time you learn. This is not the only time that you learn spiritual things. But as an example, when you come here, come with a heart of anticipation. Pray for the pastor, whoever's ministering the word, for whoever's teaching. We have responsibility to make it palatable, right? But the according to this text, the greatest weight falls upon your shoulders to have a heart to learn. What nugget can, yeah, you may have heard some of these things before. You've heard about the challenge to grow spiritually before, right? But there's what nugget of truth could be there to help you? And pray about that. Pray for your heart. So as you come with a learner spirit, and learning is active on the part of the learner. We tell our children, you know, listen with your whole body, right? You listen with your eyes. Look at the teacher. You know, it's hard for you to learn when you're, you know, when you're just, you can't hear like that. You're listen with your ears. It's one reason why we allow for notes. We provide some paper for you to take notes. It's one reason why we go on YouVersion and we give you the outline in YouVersion. It's one reason why we project things so that you can jot some of these things down. But that's not even the extent of it. Just listen actively. You tell the kids, you know, keep your hands to yourself. You know, don't pass notes. Now we have to say, don't text during the service, right? You know? It's all part of being a learner to find out what nugget God has for you through His Word. And it's interesting, as you note, the tense here in the Greek is that they had become this way. You became dull of hearing. It hadn't always been like that. And I think this shows the importance of staying on your toes. And this is a challenge for many in this service. Okay? In fact, I wonder if we ought to change it from the traditional service. In other words, let's not call it traditions. Because that's exactly what the writer was saying. He said, don't go back to all the traditions. We need to move on to maturity. You know, oftentimes we see in new Christians an eagerness to grow. And man, they're excited. Man, they sit right down front and they want to catch the spit, you know. I mean, they're just excited about their relationship with God. Well, of course, with the mask, you know. But anyway, they're excited about their relationship with God. And, they're on fire. And sad to say, I think there are some of those who have been saved for years just kind of squelch that. because they've lost some of that themselves. And they kind of figure like, well, you know, that's nice. Kind of like the little boy. You know, that's nice. That's cute. It'll pass. But you know what? As mature believers, we ought to be even more excited about our relationship with God and be willing to pass that on. The challenge here is to regain that first love of a learner. The Ephesians there in Revelation, they were told, you know, you've lost your first love. And Jesus had that against them. And as mature believers, we ought to be excited about our relationship with God to the extent that we want to pass that on, to pass on that excitement, to pass on that enthusiasm, so that those who come behind us are discipled to the point where they grow, to the point where they're excited and they are willing to pass that on to others as well. And the challenge here is to regain that first love, to be a learner, to be quick to comprehend as opposed to, oh, hum, I've heard this before. And have the attitude of, what area of my life do I need to change? Where do I need to grow to become more like Christ? Let's say, as an example, that we have a marriage conference here at FBC. And the temptation for many would be to, oh, you know, we've been married for a long time. You know, we've been married for 30 years. We don't, you know, we know what this marriage thing is all about. So we don't really have to go to the conference. Now, I'm not trying to put a guilt trip on the next time we have a conference. I'm just using it as an example, okay? So you would have the idea of, you know what? Yeah, we've been married 30 years. But you know what? There may be something, there may be a little nugget there that we could learn. Maybe put a little spice in our marriage, you know? And not only that, but we could be a testimony to others who are there, who are younger. And maybe during the breakout times or, you know, during the breaks when we're having a donut and coffee, someone might come up and say, hey, you guys have been married 30 years. You know, how did you do it? You might have an opportunity to encourage them with some thoughts that you have learned over those many years to where you're, in a sense, disciple them in the area of marriage, right? But again, as an example as to your growth and your attitude toward that kind of thing, the attitude of learning. The point is, the learner gets excited about opportunities to learn. The learner has a heart to comprehend and a desire to change in light of the truths that they're learning and then pass them on to others. That's called discipleship. That's what we need to be all about here at FBC. Learning so as to pass it on. Being a disciple so as to disciple others. Here's another quality of a learner, we've touched on it, and that's being attentive, attentiveness. And that's in contrast to being dull of hearing. That's the attitude of being a learner and comprehending what is being taught. That takes being attentive. Just as we said, the children listening with their whole bodies. It's the same in here as in other learning or teaching opportunities. And you have all of these opportunities, all of these ways in which we provide for you to stay attentive. Here's another quality of a learner, and that's in verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. Another quality of a learner is aspiring to teach. Learning so as to be able to teach. If you know that someday you're going to have to teach the material, man, it really forces you to, okay, I got to get this down because I don't want to look like an idiot when I get up in front of everybody, right? You know, I want to get this down good. And so you tend to be more attentive in that, with that. In one way or another, you are a discipler. If you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, you are a discipler. The question is, are you a good one or a poor one? But you disciple your family, your spouse, your children, your grandchildren, a friend, a neighbor, someone else in church, a friend. You have these opportunities. And so you should be thinking about what can I learn that I might be able to pass on to others? You need to be taught the phrase here, being taught the basic principles of the oracles of God. It has the idea of systematic theology. The phrase there has the idea of principles being organized in an orderly fashion. Someone has said, people get bored with systematic theology. All systematic theology does is it takes what the Bible says about, for example, God, and it helps you understand who God is. It puts it in an organized fashion. You're not going to look up in your concordance God, and it's going to list all of his attributes in any passage of Scripture. But systematic theology says God, and here are his attributes, and it'll put all kinds of verses, Genesis, Exodus, Psalms, Daniel, Matthew, John, 1 John. It'll have all the things that the attributes of God and qualities of God. That's systematic theology. It helps you understand it. That's the oracles of God. The principles of the oracles of God, what God has said. And so we need that. We need that about the Lord Jesus Christ, that he came to this earth. God became man. And here we have this little illustration of that, the anticipation of that. He was born of a virgin. And he, in fact, is God who became man. Emmanuel, God with us. You take all of those things and you learn about who Jesus is and his death, his burial, and his resurrection, and the significance of that. And then you go on to the Holy Spirit, and then you go on to the doctrine of man, and you go on to the doctrine of sin, you go on to the doctrine of salvation, the doctrine of angels, the doctrine of the church, the doctrine of the end times. That's systematic theology. We need that. That's to help us understand. But enough time had passed that they should have been farther along in those things to go on to maturity. And you need to be growing at the rate that God wants you to grow. And we have these opportunities here. Again, Sunday morning, opportunity during the worship service, during our Bible study times. The children's programs are designed to help your children at their age level learn those things so that they can grow in their spiritual maturity. We have our life groups. We have our Wednesday night Bible studies. We have ladies' Bible studies. We have men's Bible studies. We have study materials that if you have a question about it, we can get that to you. Again, we can give you some recommendations based on YouVersion and those kinds of things to help you grow. It's amazing when I talk to some believers, and I'll just be talking about spiritual things, and they've been saved for years, and they'll say, I just really don't know a whole lot about the Bible. As a pastor, I just want to, that emoji that goes, I just want to, there's an opportunity for you, all kinds of opportunities for you to learn and grow. And that's the challenge of this text here. Verse 13, for everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness since he is a child. They were still on milk. They were spiritual babies, stuck in the elementary truths of the word. They have problems with basic questions of doctrine. They are unskilled in the word of righteousness. What is it talking about there? Literally, unskilled in the gospel. My friend, that's the starting place. It's only the starting place. And that is to know and understand the gospel. Do you know and understand the gospel? If you have come to Jesus, you should know and if you've come to Jesus in salvation, you should know and understand the gospel. To the point that you could, without being intimidated and with confidence, be able to share that with others. To be ready to give an answer of the reason of the hope that is in you. And I talk to a lot of believers who are like, oh man, I don't know. It's hard for me to witness. And if that's your thought right now, I'm not going to try to call you out. I'm not going to have you raise your hand here. If that's your thought right now, take the challenge of today's text. Grow up. Because that phrase right there, unskilled in the word of righteousness, means that you need to understand and know the gospel to the point where you need to be able to pass that on to others. To know and understand gospel truth about Jesus, that he came and he died and he was buried and he rose again on your behalf, and you trust him as your Savior, and you have done that, and you are able then to pass that on to others. And it says here they had become unskilled in that, to the extent that they needed milk and not solid food. I heard about an 8-year-old boy whose mother had not weaned him. And the mother was asked, so when do you plan to do this? I don't know, sometime when he's a teenager. I don't know about you, but that just kind of almost makes me sick to my stomach. You know, it's like, really? You know, that young man needs to grow up. If that describes you spiritually, take the challenge of this text here today. Here's another quality of being a learner, and that's be willing to be stretched. A learner is willing to be stretched, verse 14. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have the powers of discernment, trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. There comes a time when a child needs to be introduced to solid food. Now, sometimes they don't like it, right? You know, you take that turkey from the turkey dinner and you grind it up. We had a little food grinder, you know, for babies, and you grind it up, and then you give the baby, you don't salt it a lot, you know, but you give it, and the baby's like, they don't like it at first, right? But you know, you keep introducing the baby to those kinds of things, you know, the strained peas and all that, so they get used to something instead of just mother's milk, right? Or formula. And if you don't, that baby's just going to keep crying through the night until it gets, you got to keep feeding it. The baby needs substance, you know, so the baby can grow and not have to cry through the dark times, right? That's what we need spiritually. The smaller the child is, the more they tend to whine about the smaller things. The younger the child is, the more immature the child is. They tend to whine about the smaller things. You know, if we were at a church fellowship and I was standing in line and all of a sudden I went, oh man, I can't believe it. Teresa comes running up, what's wrong, honey? I can't believe it. Pastor Nate, he took the piece that I wanted. Oh my goodness, well, what piece did he take? He took the whole pie. You know, you think, man, that guy needs to grow up. And I'd say, yeah, Pastor Nate needs to grow up. You know, it's always the other guy, right? No, you think, man, that's really immature. And that's the way it is spiritually. As immature, spiritually immature tend to whine and fuss about the little things. And the point here is, don't be a spiritual baby. Grow up. Mature. Be stretched. Be willing to have your spiritual thinking challenged. And we're living in a time, a day and age, when what we have always done and the way we have always done it is going to be challenged. It is being challenged. And it's going to continue to be challenged. And I want to encourage you to continue to think about the change, whatever change there may be, in light of biblical truth and principles. Don't shrink from that. Take up the challenge and grow up. Here's another mark of maturity. Be a learner. Second mark of maturity is a commitment to endurance. Verse 14. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. You know, little ones love to help, right? I talked about a little one a few weeks ago that wanted to help us move. You know, we were moving truck and just wanted to help move. You know, our grandkids, they love. I bless her heart, Teresa. She has patience beyond what I have, and that is they want to help make macaroni and cheese. I mean, they pull up the chairs there next to the oven or the stove, you know, and they're like, I want to help, you know. And Teresa's like, okay, you know, be careful. The stove is hot. Don't touch, you know. And so she's like, well, you got to stir. I want to stir. Okay, then you have to let, and they have to take turns and got to stir. Now, here's the, and they get cheese all over. It's like, oh, my goodness, you know. So, but they want to help. Little ones, they want to help. They want to help bake the cinnamon rolls. They want to help daddy change the oil on the car, you know. They want to get their hands in there. And they like to do it until their attention span runs out. Right? They do it for so long, and then it's like, okay, we're on to something else. Right? So, in other words, those who are mature, they endure, which takes a couple of mindsets. The first mindset is self-discipline. For those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice, this indicates that one who is mature is one who has and is willing to discipline him or herself. Discipline is sustained daily effort. It's not a flash in the pan kind of a situation. It's where you are willing to endure, where you're willing to do it day in and day out. And that's one of the advantages of getting your children involved in music lessons or sports. I learned a tremendous amount of discipline from being in sports. Especially wrestling. You know, it just took a lot of discipline. I mean, when you weigh 126 pounds and you want to wrestle 112, you know, you got to discipline yourself. There's not a whole lot there to lose, but, you know, you lose the weight. Discipline. And so it is with spiritual things. It takes discipline to stick with it. You can think about that in just about any discipline of life, whether it's a job that you learn or a hobby. I used to know how to knit, and I, believe it or not, I'd have to take lessons all over again. Why? Because I didn't keep it up, right? I made my headband that I wanted to make, and then I was done, you know? It's like, I couldn't do it again now. If I wanted to keep doing it, you have to discipline yourself in that kind of thing. Discipline, sustained daily effort. You have to stick with it. That's the endurance. That's the self-discipline that's involved. And so spiritually means to discipline yourself spiritually means to not just rely on Sunday mornings for your spiritual growth. You're going to have to spend time reading God's Word, studying God's Word, memorizing God's Word, listening to God's Word. and applying God's word to your life. See, and so you discipline yourself in that discipline. And I just want to admonish you, encourage you to go on from our daily bread. There, some here are probably, our daily bread is that's your spiritual nourishment through the week. I had a professor that called it our daily croutons. My encouragement for you is, I'm not saying don't read our daily bread, because it gets you, you know, you read a passage of scripture, and usually it's a verse or a short passage of scripture. It has a wonderful illustration or a story there that encourages you. But I want to encourage you to go beyond that. To say, okay, you know what? I've never read through the book of Philippians. Or I've never studied it. So I'm going to take, okay, if your habit is to read our daily bread, maybe start by saying, on Saturday mornings, I'm going to study the book of Philippians. And I'm going to start with chapter 1. And all I'm going to do is I'm going to make sure I understand Philippians chapter 1 and what it's saying. And then I'm going to read maybe another book that's going to help me understand that. And so you're going beyond. You're growing. And there are all kinds of Bible study opportunities out there. But my encouragement for you is to continue to grow beyond where you are now. Don't just rely on Sunday mornings. Don't just rely on life group. Don't just rely on the Bible studies, whatever. You need to be getting into the Word of God yourself. That's what babies do, right? It goes on beyond, okay, we're going to spoon feed you. We're going to tell you what you need to know for today so that you can get through this next week, which is, I hope it's not just milk that you get on Sunday mornings. We're going to get some milk, but some solid food. But I'm here to tell you, you need to learn to pick up the spoon and feed yourself. That's moving on to maturity. And so the second mindset is to be convinced. To be convinced that this is truth. This is what I need to do. And make a commitment to that end. To discipline yourself, but to make a commitment to, in fact, move on to maturity, to grow up. So, be a learner, make a commitment to endurance, and then finally this morning, another mark of maturity is discernment. But solid food, verse 14, is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained, there's the discipline again, by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. The ability to distinguish good from evil is this matter of discernment. Discernment has the idea of being able to make a judicial estimation. In other words, I understand this principle and I'm going to make a determination regarding how this impacts my life. A judicial estimation. And in this context, it's a matter of right and wrong. The simple, immature person doesn't know whether some things are right or wrong. And sometimes they just plow ahead and go, I didn't know any different, you know. A child doesn't know that the stove is hot until the parent says, no, 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 don't touch. Or until it finally gets burned, right? You gotta teach the child. Don't cross the street without an adult. Because I want to teach you how to look both ways so that you don't get killed by a car running you over. You know, the child needs to learn that. They don't know that. And they need to learn discernment. I think of the simple ones in Proverbs. The simple one of Proverbs chapter 7. You know, I looked out of the window and I saw a simple one. And he was out in the street and it was a wrong time of day. It was at night. And he was with the wrong people. It was a prostitute that came up. And the prostitute lured him in until he was trapped. I didn't know. That's being a simple one. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 6 says, leave your simple ways and live and walk in the way of insight. Proverbs 9, verses 9 and 10. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be wiser still. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One, insight. Proverbs 27, 12 says, the prudent sees danger and hides himself, but the simple go on and suffer for it. And back to Hebrews 5, 14. But solid food's for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Biblical discernment starts by doing two things. First of all, study the Bible. Study, not just read, but study the Bible. What does it say? Not what does it say to me? Too many people start with, oh, you know, I read through that and I wanted to find out what God said to me. What does it mean, first of all? What does it mean? What is it saying? Work that through. Make sure you understand it. It may mean that you have to read a passage several times in order to get that, to understand what it's saying. Be willing to do the homework, to dive into the scriptures to find out what God has to say about good and evil. And then you'll be able to make a righteous judgment concerning the matter in question. So study God's word, and then the second thing that's involved here is to make biblical decisions. Study the Word of God and then make biblical decisions. Why do you do what you do or believe what you believe? Do you believe what you believe because that's the way you had been taught or that's the way you were brought up? Or we've always done it that way before. So that's the way we have to. It's the American way. Or it just seems right. When you grow, matters that are important in life go from being matters of opinion to thus saith the Lord. So that when it is even an opinion, it is an opinion that is informed by a biblical worldview. In other words, understanding why God has done what he's done and how it impacts your life. I think of this past election. As we say, elections have consequences. That's why it is so important to make wise biblical decisions concerning who you vote for. It's not who you like or who you don't like. It's where do they stand? To think through these things biblically, whether it's an election or whether it's a matter that's going on in the church. I think of the whole church constitution that we've had and all that we've done through COVID-19 and the decisions that we've had to make. There are a lot of things that come at pastors about these kinds of things. And what we try to do is say, okay, let's try to think through these things biblically and theologically, so that we can make as much as we possibly can, an informed biblical decision. I just want to encourage you to think biblically critical about the decisions that you make. It's going to become more and more essential for the church to do that. Because it's going to be more and more difficult for the church to stand. And frankly, because a lot of what the church has done has been based on tradition as opposed to thus saith the Lord. I'm not saying all traditions are bad. We have an Advent wreath here. Pastor Nate, he spent some time this morning saying, okay, what's this all about? You know, let's think about this. This helps us theologically to think about not only the coming of Christmas, the birth of Jesus, but the ultimate coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Actually, this past couple of weeks, we gave some theological thinking to why are we doing this? Why do we do what we do? I just want to encourage you with that. Again, I fear that we hold to traditions and opinions without biblically critical thinking. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. And that's what was going on with the Hebrews. The writer was writing to the Jews who grew up in this Hebrew culture. That's the way they had always done it. The prophets, Moses, the law, the Sabbath, all of that's the way we have always done it. And then comes Jesus. And listen, my friend, Jesus changed everything for the Jew. You think change is hard. Jesus changed everything. He is talking to you and me who are living now in a very changing culture right now. He's saying, hey, we got to grow up. We got to know the gospel, but we need to grow from the gospel to think critically biblical about these things. He's better than all of that. He's the fulfillment of all of that. All of that stuff showed that they couldn't live by all of that. And Jesus came and fulfilled all of that because he's a Savior. It just showed they needed a Savior, and that Savior was Jesus. And the writer wanted to dive deep into matters like Melchizedek. But he couldn't until they grew up. So don't be slow to learn. How much better to be discerning. Ground your thinking in God's Word. We've had it quite easy growing up in the United States of America. Many of us have grown up being told what to believe. We've accepted it. But God wants you to have your powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Let's say that you choose to take a class. Maybe it's even a required class. And you have some ideas as to how you're going to approach this class. One thing you could do is just kind of blow it off. Say, you know what? I'm not even going to go to class. I'm going to show up and take the final exam and hope for the best. All right? Or you might say, okay, I'll do what I have to do, you know, get through it, and I'll do the homework, I'll do the assignments, and I'll get it done, and dread every minute of it. Or you could say, you know what, I'm going to put my everything into this. Right now, I don't see the value of this, maybe, or I see the value of it, whatever you're at. Say, you know what, I'm going to put everything I have into this, and I'm going to try to get everything out of it that I possibly can. From which attitude will you gain the most? Obviously, the final one. And so it is spiritually. If you just put in a minimum amount of thought and discipline and all of that, just hope for the best at the judgment. There are a lot of people that do that. Or just do what it's expected and it's kind of burdensome. Yeah, okay, you know, it's Sunday morning, I got to go to church. Or are you going to put you all into it? And I'm here, I just want to submit, based on what we're learning here today, that if you put your all into it, it's like the t-shirts we give out at baptism, all in. You know, are you all in? If you're all in, you're not going to regret it. You're not going to regret it. In fact, you will be blessed. So what will it be for you? Are you going to stay with the milk? Or are you going to be weaned and grow up? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you will work in our hearts. You know what we need here today. You know what every heart needs here today. And you have a way of tailoring the ministry of your word to our hearts. The way one person receives this message may be different from another person, but that's the work of the Holy Spirit taking place even right now. And I pray that you would work mightily among us. With heads bowed and eyes closed, there may be some here are saying, yes, this is great. I love this. This is exactly what I need to keep growing. And you've been growing, and you're continuing to grow, and you see the value of that. Just what I would encourage you to do is consider how you can pass that on to someone else. Ooh, okay. That's where we all ought to be. But there may be some here who are you're just kind of going through the motions, doing what you have to do, or somewhere in between. I just want to encourage you to say, you know what? I'm going to grow up. I'm going to take some steps here today. You may know exactly what you need to do in order to do that. If you're not sure what to do, then we might be able to help you with that. We'd like to try to help you with that. We'd like everyone to fill out a connection card. You can do so as you go out the door here, entrance doors here. You can pick up a connection card and put it in the offering receptacle. By the way, we encourage folks to give and give faithfully so the ministry continues here at FBC. You can fill out a connection card through YouVersion or through our website as well. And jot down how God has spoken to you through his word here today. If it's personal, if it's private, check for pastors only. We'll be praying for you. And we'd like to help you if you'd like for us to help you. Maybe you need help with a Bible study. Maybe you need help with discipleship. Maybe you have questions about the whole matter of salvation. We want to help you with that. Father, I pray that you would work in all of our hearts. We would be faithful, that we would grow up, that we would be motivated as a result of your word here today to move on to maturity. We ask for your help in that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please stand and join us.